The Three Amigos.
You all are appointment listening. I listen to you every Friday afternoon. Everything stops for you all.
The Three Amigos. Make an appointment every Friday afternoon at 4 on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you can join in with us today. And as we always say at the beginning of every show, just because you hear something and thought you heard correctly regarding any kind of tax strategy or any type of real estate private partnership syndication opportunity, please don't rush in. Check with your existing advisors to understand whether what you heard is correct and whether or not, more importantly, whether or not what you heard will enhance your existing facts and circumstances or otherwise be applicable. And for those of you that don't have current advisors that opine in the areas of real estate taxation, real estate cash flow, retirement plan, utilization, investing in real estate, and doing so at a tax-efficient or in a tax-efficient manner, or for those that may be nearing retirement and want to be in a zero tax bracket when they get to retirement, or zero tax rate, I should say. There is no zero tax bracket, but we can certainly pay zero in tax if we have the ability to structure our income streams. And maybe we don't get there every year if we're in real estate partnerships that might sell every 5 to 7 years. We may have to play a game of serpentine to either reduce or otherwise eliminate the tax in such years, or maybe we pay a small amount. In any event, if you don't have advisors, you can go to our website at beaplannershow.com and fill out at least the first form we have there, Step 1, Form 1, Client Profile, and then go ahead and schedule a call. You'll see a call scheduler there as well. And I'd be happy to spend some time with you on the phone to try to figure out how we might be able to sync up with you in terms of your goals and objectives. Okay, the only other thing I want to say with regard to the obligatory disclaimers and disclosures is I mentioned real estate private partnership syndications. We talk about them often on the air, and I don't go in and define them every show, and I guess I probably should for new listeners. You may be surprised to learn there's a whole world out there where you as a layperson can be on a path to invest in real estate private partnerships involving well, the ones we focus on involve multifamily apartment buildings. It's one of the lower hanging fruits, I guess I would call it. And in spite of some of the rough headwinds we've been faced with here recently, that asset class is still the most attractive and still generates above average returns compared to other options that you might have in most cases. We don't recommend specific sponsors or lead partners. We don't recommend specific investments involving specific properties. But what we do look at is any option that you're considering, whether it's something we might have made you aware of or whether it's coming through one of the investor platforms that we have across the country, including right here in Houston, one of the biggest ones. Just because it's provided by a friendly face that you know it's the group that you're a member of, that doesn't mean it fits your facts and circumstances. The each partnership, each property has its own unique variables, and if you don't understand how to read the private placement memorandums, or otherwise known as PPMs, or the operating agreements associated with each of those transactions, you're exposed. You may not realize it, but again, each partnership is different. Even if you've invested with the same syndicator, the same lead partner multiple times, the next one is going to be different. It's going to be unique. And in any event, you need to understand what you're signing up for in every case, and or you'll be surprised. I mean, gee, we've had the only two-time award winner of the National Apartment Association's independent owner category has had properties go back to the lender as of late. So nobody's exempt, and I'm not casting blame. I don't know enough about the circumstances surrounding those transactions, but I can tell you that we didn't have any clients that invested in them at our behest. I mean, I'm pretty conservative about the things that I choose to make clients aware of, and I don't like the flashy display that a lot of syndicators have. Once they start rolling in the successful properties, every once in a while they let their guard down on due diligence and they slip up. And if that's the one you've got your retirement money in, that's a problem. And so, you know, you want to understand the plethora of risk that are associated with any given partnership that you look at. But anyway, we don't sell investments. We don't recommend specific ones. And what we do is try to help you understand what you're signing up for. And it's not just at the outset. There's going to come a day, hopefully, where you're getting distributions. You may want to redeploy those funds in other new partnerships. Or maybe you're in the situation we're in now where you've got existing partnerships asking for more cash. They're doing cash calls so they can cover mortgage payments. And, you know, you may question, well, should I do that? And that's a valid question. And the answer is maybe. And you need to understand the variables to look at, the pro forma information, the revised pro forma information, so that you can make that determination. And we often simply serve as a sanity check when you're in those situations. We are not your investment advisor, per se, like maybe your broker or your planner at whatever brokerage firm you use. We're more of in an ancillary role. We're more like your accountant, and yet we do work and consulting work that most CPAs aren't involved in reviewing these transactions. In any event, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking what your secret. With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me with big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to discuss an article that came in yesterday, it looks like. Connect CRE is the site that I got the update from, and it's entitled The Multifamily Rent Growth Rate Ticks Upward in July. And this represents, it's an important change in direction, I guess you might say, that we're actually seeing, albeit a slight year-over-year response, but the average U.S. asking rent in multifamily projects, and again, average is not necessarily something you should hang your hat on. We're all actual. We're not average. But it's good to see the averages swinging in the right direction. The average U.S. asking rent rose 0.8, so not quite 1%, year over year through July, or $4 a month to $1,743, a 20 basis point increase in the growth rate. This includes a resumption of rent growth in high supply markets, where it had been negative, and that's the reason that, like I say, this is welcome news. Let's hope it's not just a temporary bump up. Let's hope it continues. And this is put out by Yardi Matrix, which is a national, it's a software, real estate software tool for keeping up with multifamily real estate. So they see it across many, many, many apartment units around the country. Continuing on with the article, although the July year-on-year growth rate was weak by historical standards, the market is exhibiting strength in many ways. Demand hasn't faltered, and the national occupancy rate remained at 94.6% for the seventh straight month, down 0.4% year-on-year. That's still a pretty healthy occupancy rate. I know most properties that we review and have clients that invest in them, they would happily take 94.6% average occupancy. That usually means you're in the money if you're at that level. So anyway, gateway metros in the East and secondary markets in the Midwest continued to lead rent growth. The strongest performance was registered in New York City, 5.2% rent growth. That's year on year, July. Washington, D.C. was 4%. Kansas City, a good Sun Belt state, was 3.4%. Conversely, rent growth maintained negative in several Sun Belt metro areas, led by Austin, negative 5.7% growth rate, Atlanta, 3.3%, and Raleigh, 2.8%. So that's, you know, again, that's why when I say, you know, we're not average, we're actual. If you're an owner in a property in Austin, Texas, you're likely experiencing negative growth rate even while the national average is positive. So, you know, it's, again, it's good to have an average number that's pointed back in the right direction, but it obviously depends on where you're at and what type of property you have, et cetera. The single-family rental market continues to exhibit strength, with advertised asking rents up $5 in July to $2,171 and up 1% year-on-year through July. Demand is sustained by high cost of home ownership and the lack of available homes for sale. And the home ownership issue is something that's not going away. I mean, if you look at the Florida Atlantic University's rent versus buy index that they created, or they at least write about, it's going to be a number of years before it makes sense to buy in most metro markets. In most markets, you're better off renting than you are buying. In any event, again, this was an article out on Connect CRE and posted, I believe it was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see, since we're out there, let me just see what other Texas news is being reported here. Let's see. Well, I don't see anything that's earth-shattering. Let's do this. It's been a while since we've discussed the process of using your retirement funds, your 401 money, to invest in real estate, specifically in these private partnerships. And, you know, we've got some unique capabilities living in the great state of Texas to access your retirement money. And I'm not suggesting you run out and invest every last dollar you've got in your company's 401k plan into real estate, although I've known people that have done that that have not regretted it, because typically these private real estate partnerships, especially the ones in multifamily investments, have done better in terms of the returns and the wealth increase that you might experience over the market, and, you know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, etc. And from the perspective of private partnerships, these are private company investments, it hits on several cylinders that you just can't get there with market-based investments. And I've got a prospective client that I was discussing this with, and he was asking me questions about, well, how does it work? And I realized, you know, it's been a while since we've walked through the steps on the show. And I thought, well, today's a good day to do that. And so I'm going to mention some of those unique capabilities that we have, just because we woke up living in the great state of Texas today and we're married. I got to throw that in there, because the rules that we work with have benefit, high benefit, if you're also married. And I'm not going to suggest getting married or these rules is a reason to run out and get married. Please don't take it that way. And for either male or female that really want to marry the person they're currently with, again, don't use this as your ammunition to goad or otherwise push the other party. But I'll tell you this, if you're sure it's the right one, these rules will make it even better. But let's assume for a moment that you're working for a company that has a 401k plan and you're single and you're putting away, you know, $15,000, $20,000 a year, whatever it is. And for the most part, your choices for investing are going to be in pre-tax, market-based mutual funds, stocks, bonds, etc. And I'm just defining the general scenario. I understand, and we like the 401k option that involves contributing to a Roth portion of the plan. We heartily recommend, if your employer offers the Roth option, and for those of you that work for an employer that does, you're probably thinking, well, what is he talking about? Don't they all offer a Roth option? And the answer is, even still today, the answer is no, not all, but certainly more than we had 2 years ago and more than we had 5 years ago. I would estimate now that it's probably 80 to 85, maybe as much as 90% of larger companies have made the Roth option available to their employees. And, you know, I guess, you know, talking about Roth, it's multifaceted in terms of why we even have to talk about this. I mean, it goes back to, I believe it was the 80s, when the corporate America combined with Congress came up with the not so bright notion of a 401k, where they offloaded your retirement future to you. You're the one that now has to take over the burden of funding your employment. You may have had parents that worked for companies, you know, all their life. They had a pension plan, a defined benefit style plan, where based on their earnings record, they were paid a certain level of pension every month. And that in large measure was replaced by defined contribution style plans. So defined benefit in the old days, and we still have those. There are a few still out there. But most of corporate America embraced, welcomed the notion that, hey, we can offload those costs over to our employees through this defined contribution type plan known as a 401k. And I can't hardly say 401k now without thinking of the commercial, and I forget who does it. I think Will Ferrell is the actor, but he's sitting with, I think it's his wife, and he's going over his list of reports with his financial planner, and he says, oh yeah, you know, here's the 401k. It looks like I've got $401,000 in that plan. And of course, he's translating the K in 401 to mean thousands. And it never ceases to make me chuckle since I saw that commercial a while back. But anyway, so the burden is on you. And so what'd they do? How did they get you to swallow hard and accept that? It's the same way they did it with the IRA. And of course, the IRA has been around a bit longer than the 401, so people were already kind of familiar with the concept that, hey, I make a deduction this year. I mean, I make a contribution this year and I get a deduction on my tax return. But people really weren't savvy to the notion that retirement is for a much longer period than 1 year when I'm getting the deduction. But somehow they got the American public to buy it. And it was only once the Roth option came about, which I don't remember. I know it was at some point, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s. And it doesn't matter. I mean, we're here now. And all you need to understand is when I ask you, well, how much money do you have in your 401? And you'll say, well, you know, I've got $2 million. And my response is, no, you don't. Not if it's in a pre-tax 401. Who else is a partner in your 401 that's going to get a chunk of that plan when you start taking money out? The IRS, the government. And if I ask you, so now how much of it's yours, you can't tell me. Why can't you tell me? Because you don't know what the tax rates are going to be when you take money out. And if you think they're going to be the same as we have now, and I'm looking out over the next 30 years, not the next 2 years, which we still may not have the same tax brackets in 2 years, just depends. I see the Congress is working on a tax bill right now. They're one of the things, and it kind of got tripped up yesterday, I believe, in Congress. Some of the senators decided they didn't like expanding the child care credit here in the throes of the election. This is another inducement to get votes, is what it is. It's just like, you know, the Democrats are forgiving student debt. They're doing assorted things. I can't even remember. It's like every time I turn around, there's another piece of candy being tossed out to get a certain segment of voters. And Republicans are doing the same thing. Mr. Trump wants to exempt tips from taxation. Well, what do you think that's going to bring? It's going to bring a lot of Republican voters, if they got any sense, if they make their living on tips, why wouldn't they want that policy, right? So anyway, there's a tax bill that was somewhat bipartisan working its way through the congressional pipes, if you will, and the Senate woke up and realized, well, gee, I mean, I don't think they're going to admit to this, but I don't think they want another constituency, a sizable constituency, thinking kind things about the Democrats, although I'm assuming Republicans will lay claim to the expanded child care credit if it occurs, just like the Democrats have. But in any event, you can rest assured that we are headed to higher taxes. It's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's the math. Talked about it many times here on the air. We're running out of the ability to borrow. We're well over 100% of GDP now in the public debt, and we're the last remnant of the discretionary portion of the budget that is actually not already mandated will have been eclipsed somewhere in the 2027 to 2030 time frame. And if you think it's going to be easy to continue to borrow money, i.e. sell treasury bonds, you need to wake up and smell the coffee, because we're not going to be able to sell the same level or the same amount of treasury bonds. We're basically borrowing $2 trillion a year right now. According to the Congressional Budget Office, that will continue out through their latest 10-year forecast going through 2034. They show that we'll have a $50 trillion deficit and at an average of about $2 trillion a year. Excuse me. But in any event, so bottom line is, I don't care how much tax you want to lay on the wealthy, or if you're the GOP, the Republicans, you might say, well, we need to quit giving money to all these foreign countries, the foreign aid, and providing missiles to Ukraine or to Israel. And I'm telling you, you could stop all that. You could tax, forget about just taxing the wealthy a percentage. Take it all. Take all the wealth of all the billionaires in the U.S. It wouldn't make a dent of any size in the problem, which is our cumulative debt, which is, you know, it's admitted to be close to $35 trillion. It's actually much, much higher when you look at the already passed mandates for legislation for indexing, Social Security, Medicare, et cetera. It's already baked into the law. It's already been passed, already been signed. And when you look at that liability, it takes the roughly $35 trillion we have now, and it's somewhere, depending on your assumption set, somewhere up in the 150 or more, probably 150 to $200 trillion. It's insane. And if you think that's just a matter of tweaking the tax rates a little bit, well, no, I would refer you back to the, again, I'm going to use CBO because that's the closest thing to an impartial umpire, although I think we all at times wonder just how impartial they are. I guess it depends on which team you're suiting up for on which legislation. But in any event, the CBO did a report back in 2009 that suggested to fix the deficit. Now, this is a long time ago, folks. This was 15 years ago. And they suggested the tax brackets. We had three brackets back then, 10%, 25%, and I believe 39%. And they suggested a 150% increase in each one of those three brackets. The 10% bracket would go to 25, the 25 would go to 63, and the 39 would go to 88%. That doesn't have any state tax in it if you're sitting in California, Arizona, et cetera, some of the states where these real estate private partnerships are plentiful. And we have clients across the country that pay state tax, unlike us here in Texas, although you understand we pay tax. We just don't pay income tax. Texas is, I think they're still in the top 10 states in terms of the average per capita expenditure. And I can tell you right now, how do you think we pay for expenditures at the state level? It's through taxes. So, you know, we're paying higher property taxes. We probably have, we do have assorted other taxes. I just don't know, you know, how much the phone tariff taxes are, the gas tax. I mean, just go down the list. You can't be in the top any number strata of government per capita spending unless you're collecting taxes of some sort. And again, we don't have an individual income tax, and constitutionally we don't have a corporate income tax, although, you know, when you calculate the Texas franchise tax based on your gross margin, I still don't understand how the Supreme Court of Texas didn't rule that that was an income tax and therefore should have been unconstitutional. But in any event, so that the 2009 report from CBO suggested 150% would have been the necessary increase in tax rates. Now the magic number is clearly in the 200% level. So if you don't understand just how bad of a problem we have, go take a look at usdebtclock.org. I just pulled it back up. We look at it periodically on the show here, and we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll come right back, and I'll give you just a few numbers up to date, up to the minute, as it were, from that when we come back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life, but I'll shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. And I hope that
did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man. Be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I am going to go back to the self-directed 401k concept, but I want to just mention on this U.S. debt clock, usdebtclock.org, real-time calculations. It looks like a pinball machine. The numbers are changing so fast, but it's interesting. Well, there's more than a few spots that are interesting on this site, but the spot that I like to look at often, it's not just the top line number. The U.S. national debt is now $35 trillion. I like to look at the budget categories and watch how they're the top four, which are shown here, top four components of the budget. It's interesting to watch the dynamics on what place they're in, what position, one through four, and how fast one, there's one category out there of the four that's just running amok. And for the first time this year, before the end of the fiscal year, September 30th, the fourth category will leapfrog the third. The third most prolific category in the budget is defense at $912 billion through today. And it's changing right in front of your eyes. If you want to see how much we're borrowing every second, you can make that calculation. That's third. Second on that list is Social Security at almost one and a half trillion, and the number one position is Medicare and Medicaid at almost 1.8 trillion. But coming up in fourth, and it's currently in the last spot if you're looking at just the top four, is the interest expense on our debt, $908 billion. That number will go over the $1 trillion mark. I think it's projected to be about $1.1 trillion by this September. September 30th, 2024. First time in the history of the country that we will exceed $1 trillion, and it will have overtaken defense. How is that even possible? I mean, I can't even hardly think that away. Who would think? I mean, defense is such a huge expenditure. It just, it's hard to fathom that interest expense would jump into third place ahead of debt. But guess what? According to CBO, Congressional Budget Office, they just a couple, 3 months ago updated their 10-year forecast, which, by the way, the 10-year look of the cumulative deficit at that point will have gone up from $35 trillion to just over $50 trillion by the year 2034. It's just insanity. There's no other way to describe it. And at that point, the interest expense will be in the number one position, ahead of Medicare and Medicaid, ahead of Social Security, and of course it exceeds defense. I say that, who knows, with the hot spots around the world, you know, maybe the military complex will get what they want and they'll be juking it out for one of those top two or three spots. But anyway, that's what I wanted to mention. And I want to go back now to the 401 option. I talked about the single person scenario where you're basically able to invest in the stock market. And then, of course, if you're over the age of 59 and a half, you can access your 401 money. Or if you separate from your employer, you can access your 401 money from the employer plan. And so that is the way, the ability for us to control our money. That's the issue. How can you control your current retirement funds to get them into these real estate private partnership investments that earn typically higher rates of return than you'll generate in the market? And again, you can take your 401 funds and roll them over into either a self-directed IRA, or if you have some self-employment income, a side gig even. Let's say you change employers, but you have the ability to either consult or to bill for your services otherwise, to where you have some side gig income. Doesn't have to be a whole lot. It's more with respect to the activity itself. It's got to be a legitimate business undertaking. You qualify to set up a self-directed 401 trust, which is hugely beneficial for the self-employed, because not only can you roll over your money from your existing 401, you can also make additional contribution. This 2024 limit, I don't have the exact number in front of me, I believe it's 77,000 or 77,500 in the current year, assuming you make the requisite level of income. And we focus on the Roth side because, as I started to explain earlier, we don't think a current year deduction of X percent, call it whatever you want, even if you're in the highest bracket, it's 37 cents out of a dollar is what you're going to save, compared with not paying at least 37 cents if you're still in a high bracket after you retire, which I know a lot of people think they won't be. But you ask somebody that's got several million dollars in their 401 how much their RMDs are, that would be required minimum distributions, and you may be shocked to realize you may be making more money than you made on a W-2 from your employer. So the point is, if you contribute pre-tax like most people do, you're going to get slammed with taxes as you start taking out your required minimum distributions or more. And it's not just the income tax. We got a little thing in the Medicare arena called the IRMA tax, which is an additional premium you pay if your income is over certain levels. And your Social Security will also get taxed up to 85%. If you're dealing with pre-tax distributions, filling your required minimum distribution amount that you've got to make. Conversely, if you contribute to a Roth side of the 401, or you convert your pre-tax funds over to Roth, you won't pay, presuming it's qualified, and we can talk about that later, you won't pay any income tax. The Roth distributions do not go into the IRMA calculation, so you miss that tax. And your Social Security calculation does not include Roth distributions. So not only are you not paying the income tax, which is significant, it's a huge difference between the pre-tax or the Roth option, you miss these other taxes that afflict others in retirement. And so your challenge, given that the tax train is barreling down the tracks right now, we're going to be running out of the discretionary remaining portion of the budget that's discretionary. We won't have a choice, in other words, on what the funds get spent on. The interest costs are off the charts now. It's only going to get worse. The math is going to dictate higher taxes. There's just no other way to plug the leak. And I don't think we're going to solve the deficit issue. We'll band-aid it. But in any event, the money's got to come from somewhere. And the middle class is the biggest pile of money that Congress has to work with. And don't be fooled. The tax man cometh. And you got to consider, if you've got pre-tax money, you've got to consider getting it into the Roth type of plan. And there's no better vehicle for doing that than real estate private partnerships, because we can convert Roth funds at a discount to what you invested in them, because we get private company investments or discounts. Lack of marketability. Lack of majority control, sorted other. There's 20 or 25 risk factors in every private placement memorandum that we review that will serve to lower the tax cost of you converting to Roth. And then once it's qualified, 5 years or age 59 and a half, you've got tax-free money for the rest of your life, which, according to the IRS, a male will live to 85, 86. Females live to 87, 88. If you're married, if one of you, you and your spouse, live, or if you make it to 65, I believe there's at least a 50% chance you'll live to early 90s. So it's a long time that you've got to have money to pay your bills. Anyway, well, we're right at the end of the show. I thank you for tuning in again. We will return on Sunday at 7 a.m. right here on AM 700, The Voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.